We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Bite.
Welcome to the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by Hong Kombucha, handcrafted with love in Bend, Oregon for Beaver Nation. Here are your hosts, Mike Parker and John Warren.
Play action fake, deep drop, well protected, post route deep down the middle intended for Champ Fleming. Champ takes it off the tip, catches it, touchdown Beavers!
Welcome into this week's edition of the Oregon State Beavers podcast, presented by Hum Kombucha, Mike Parker with John Warren, joined by Champ Flemings. I feel like we should have Muhammad Ali's "The Champ is Here, The Champ is Here" as an introduction. But before we even get to the great plays and the fact that he's become so quickly such a fan favorite and a teammate favorite for the hard work that he's put in this year and the spectacular touchdowns, Champ, your first given name is Eric's. But the champ is here, Champ Flemings. How did you, let's go from Eric's, that's an interesting name in itself. And how did you, who started calling you champ?
My dad named me Eric's after a video game that he used to play when he was in the third grade or something like that, and he always just liked the name. But champ was, again, a name that my dad gave me. I don't know where or why he chose that nickname, but I just know that from day one, you know, ever since he first called me, it has stuck, and it's a lot easier to pronounce than my real name, so people kind of stick with that, and I like it. So
I bet it was from the Rocky movies. I need to just look at something here while we're doing this. I bet it was from the Rocky movies because he kept calling him champ. The guy in Carl Weathers' corner, but great name. You played like it on Saturday. How is it this year? You're getting a lot of playing time.
I think it's good. I think it's just a testament to my work ethic, you know, me being humble, me being patient and putting in the work, and my teammates and my coaches trusting me, my quarterback trusting me, and, you know, guys stepping up and vouching for me. And, you know, I was able to be blessed enough to be put in this position, and I think I'm doing a good job of taking advantage of the opportunities that I've been given.
Champ, it struck me as the big plays that you made, it's been a building into getting ready, you know, to emerge in a very real sense on the big stage in making those kinds of plays. But on that first touchdown, you were telling me earlier that it's not just an accident, that you practice those kinds of plays. Whether you've actually had one exactly like that in a game, I don't know. But the touchdown that's gotten so much run, so many views, it was so spectacular. Tell me a little bit about what that's a function of, how you're able to make a play like that, in that you practice it.
Yeah, it's something that our coach introduced to us in a drill in practice. And as a receiver group, we do that drill a lot. We do it almost every day. So it was something that felt natural going up and being able to track the ball and go up and over the guy and take the ball from him. And we work on snatching it away from the defender to eliminate any mishaps with handling the ball and coming down with it. And it was, you know, I've had similar situations like that, having to go up and over guys, you know, in my previous years of playing football. But yeah, so it was something that was pretty natural.
We're going to do something we did earlier on our local show, on the Joe Beaver Show, and that is talk about kind of the play from start to finish and the things that you had to process as you were getting ready to make that spectacular play, champ. So let's kind of go through, if you could, what your route was and sort of the things you had to process to get into the position to make that play.
It's funny, before the play happened, I was kind of sitting on the sideline, and for some odd reason, I was thinking about having to go up and over a defender. And oddly enough, the next drive, we went out and we lined up, and the play call was for me to run a vertical route. And I got into my route and probably should have ran, you know, a little better of a route, but ended up on the outside of the defender rather than inside of him. So I kind of just took off running, and I was thinking in my head, I hope Jake throws this over his head and I can just catch it behind him and walk into the end zone. But as the ball went up, I saw it kind of hang in the air with the wind a little bit, and I kind of was just processing. Usually in that situation, as a smaller player, I would try to stop on a dime, use my quickness to my advantage, and get in front of the defender so that I could play it in front of him and kind of surprise him. But instead, I kind of was just like, just jump with him, just trust yourself, jump with him, and go up strong, go up aggressive, and take it away from him. And that's what I did.
The jumping part of it was impressive. I mean, I don't know what your vertical is, how often you get tested on something like that. Have you played much basketball? I mean, the hops looked legit for you to out-jump a guy that's 6 inches taller than you. What about that, champ?
Explosiveness is something that I've been working on really my whole life. My dad always emphasized being explosive and being able to get off the ground quickly. And that's, you know, a big testament to just the work that I've put in my whole life, working on being explosive. And it helps. It pays off, because when you find yourself in situations like that, you know, you're able to get off the ground and out jump guys. And I think it's kind of a surprise, because bigger defenders don't expect for me to go up and challenge them the way that I went up and challenged that guy. And I was able to get my hands over him and really out jump him. I got up, I think, a little higher than he did. And, you know, just being aggressive, going up aggressive and going up with a purpose.
In a sense, then, even if you said maybe I should have run a better route, or maybe you're supposed to be on the inside rather than the outside, it worked out. Mm-hmm. Because the defender, if you're in front of him, he's sort of in control. You ended up in an odd way, yeah, taking control of the situation.
Yeah, I think there was, you know, some things that could have been done differently, but I think it worked out the way that God intended it to work out. I think I ended up in the right position. I ended up in a position to where I was able to be the one to make the decision how this is going to play out. You know, if I would have ended up in front of him, I would have had really no choice but to go up. So I kind of had options, and I think I made the right decision to go up and jump with him.
Champ Fleming's our guest on the podcast. Champ, you've talked about being humble and patient and God's intentions and plans. So in asking you this next question about what your life has been like since those two spectacular plays, and we'll get to the other one in a moment, but ESPN highlighted it. Everybody who's shown highlights had that as one of the top plays of the weekend. You stay humble, even in times like that, when a lot of love and attention's coming your way. But has a lot of it come your way, and have you kind of enjoyed that and handled all of that?
Definitely. I've really appreciated the support that everybody's been showing me, and everybody's been showing me a lot of love. So that's been really good, you know. But for me, I try to just, you know, move on to the next week. You know, it was a great play, and I appreciate everybody's support. But again, just trying to stay humble, you know, not trying to let it get to me as much as I would want to. I want to embrace all the love and support, and I do. I appreciate it. But just trying to stay humble, and, you know, there's more football to be played. You know, just trying to – that's a big part in being consistent, is moving on to the next week and trying to continue to make big plays happen.
Having said that, was there any sort of – any comment by anybody at the NFL level or on any of those network shows that, hey, whoa, wow, he saw it too? I mean, was there anything that was kind of pleasing to you or your family that it got, you know, retweeted or whatever else that really kind of, hey, wow, that's cool?
The biggest one, obviously, the one that everybody saw, was the tweet from Randy Moss. So, you know, that's kind of his trademark catch, going up and over a defender. So that one was really cool to see. And then another, you know, a couple of other NFL NFL guys. I know Tariq Cohen, the running back for the Bears, he saw it. He's another smaller player. Andrew Hawkins, who was a receiver who played for the Bengals and the Browns, he was a smaller player. He tweeted about it. Torrey Smith, he played receiver for the Baltimore Ravens, I believe. He saw it. So there was, a good list of NFL receivers and, guys who play in the league that, showed me some love.
Now, I can't give you Moss's height off the top of my head, but he's got a little bit of size on you, doesn't he?
Yeah, he was a big guy, and now he made that catch his trademark, being able to go up and be aggressive and take balls from defenders and win those 50-50 balls. So for a guy of my stature to be able to make something Randy Moss-esque happen, it's kind of big, and it surprises everybody.
It was very fun to watch, and then your next touchdown, too. I want to kind of, when we wrap things up, kind of get back to, you've used the phrase, a man of my stature, and obviously, when people start talking about you, they almost start with that, well, he's 5'5", and I don't know whether you get weary of that as a narrative. You've certainly had to, in a sense, fight that, I would think, much of your life. We'll get to that in a moment, but what about the other touchdown against Cal Poly, and how that played out, what you saw, the coverage you saw, and how Jake drove that ball in?
Coming up to the line of scrimmage, I recognized that the defense might have been playing cover two. That's what I anticipated that they were running. The corner was squatted. He had his eyes hard inside at the quarterback, so the safety was off the hash, kind of playing really tight, but off the hash. So I was anticipating cover two. And as I got my release off the line, I saw the corner squat, and he didn't really move or back up or anything like that. The safety stayed on the hash, and I just took off running. I kind of got some width to get away from that safety, and in my head, I was like, I hope Jake saw this the way I saw it. And, of course, we were on the same page. I looked back. We kind of made eye contact, and I saw him wind up to drive the ball in there, and he made a great throw. The O-line protected really well, and Jake drove it in there. He hit me in stride, and I was able to, do the rest and finish the play.
It was a beautiful thing to watch, as was that first touchdown. So those things now on your resume, so to speak, in your time, but it's all a function of work. It's not just like, oh, Trevon's not here or Tyjon's not here. You've been working towards these moments throughout your career here at Oregon State, right?
Yeah, I like to pride myself on being a very hard worker, and I feel like, again, being a guy that's my size, you have to outwork the people who have the advantages that you don't have. So work is a big thing for me. I work really hard. I was really patient, again, really humble about when my opportunities came and when they didn't come, and being supportive of other guys. And on the flip side, when my time came and I got my opportunities and I took advantage of them, they supported me. They showed me that same kind of love and support. So just really appreciative of that. But yeah, I've worked really hard to be, in that position.
Champ, tell us then about growing up playing the game. And, have you always been the smaller guy, no matter what? I mean, has that always been what you've been gone up against?
I would say it's safe to say that I've always been the smallest player on every team that I've ever been on. So it's nothing really new to me. I've always been this size. So I've had to adapt and learn and grow and, of course, work hard. And so being small to me is nothing new. I've always been this size. It's not like I shrunk. So I've always been a small guy, and, I make the most of it. I just try to take what God has given me, the talents and the quickness and the speed and the ball control and all those type of things, and use those things to my advantage and not really worry about what I can't do or what others have that I don't. I just make the most of what I've been blessed with.
That explosiveness that you've worked on, have you worked on it through a variety of means of workouts, running stairs, doing things to get those calves and to get the explosiveness to the level that it is?
Yeah, my dad was a football he was a defensive back coach for 17 years. So I would always I started working out with his high school teams when I was 7 years old. Okay. So I've always been working with guys who were years older than me. So just working on that explosiveness, running hills. We have a famous thing in Pasadena at the Rose Bowl. We call it the hill, and everybody goes there to run. It's a very, very, very steep hill. So, just doing things like that. And it started again when I was 7 years old, and I started really taking football serious at that age. And ever since then, I've been working on my explosiveness, and ever, still to this day, it's something that I work on. It's something that's very important to me.
Champ, did you believe, was there a moment in time, a cathedral, even before then? I mean, did you have a goal? I can play big-time Division I, Pac-12, Power 5 football. I mean, did you have people telling you, no, you can't, you're too small? I mean, what's your mindset been all the way up to get the opportunity you have in the Pac-12 in a Power 5 school, Pac-12 conference that you grew up watching? You know, what was your mindset growing up?
The mindset was always to be on this stage. This is I've always wanted to play in the Pac-12 growing up on the West Coast. I didn't know where, I didn't know what school, but I just always knew that I wanted to play big time Power 5 football. I knew that I had the talent to do it. I knew that I had the work ethic and the mindset to do it. I just needed somebody to bless me with that opportunity. And, you know, of course, I've always had people tell me that I wasn't big enough, I wasn't, you know, strong enough, whatever the case may be. When I was in high school, when I was a freshman, I had people telling me that I wasn't going to ever play varsity football in high school. So, you know, but just staying with the course, staying, you know, putting my faith in God that, you know, he was going to bless me with that opportunity. And I worked hard. I made plays. I made the most of the opportunities that I was given. And in high school, I was able to do some really big things and catch the eye of some of the Pac-12 schools. And when those opportunities came, you know, I had some options, and Oregon State was a school that stood out to me. They took the first chance on me, the first big school that took a chance on me, and they recruited me hard. They stayed on it. They stayed adamant about the fact that they wanted me here, and the fact that Oregon State was a place that's had success with smaller players. I knew that if I came here, it wouldn't necessarily be like some science experiment or we're just going to test this out. You know, I've seen guys who were small come here and be successful and have great careers, so this was a place that I felt comfortable coming.
And yet at the same time, with Oregon State perhaps in early first to show interest in you, offer you, say, hey, you can play at this level, we believe in you, that may have spoken a lot to you. But when you have a friend in Jameer Calvin who goes on to do big things at Washington State and they show interest, was there a time when you thought, hey, that's a pretty good system, and you know guys have a lot of success in that? When they came sort of hard after you too, what was it about that may have appealed there, but why you stayed true to Oregon State?
Yeah, the big thing that I think about with the Washington State thing was when I had my home visit, Mike Leach came in my house, he sat on my couch, and the first thing he said to me was, you're going to be the most happy with the ball in your hands. And I was like, that's a great sales pitch. Yeah. So that was something that I really took into consideration, and I went back and forth with my parents after they left for two and a half hours almost about, you know, me wanting to flip and, you know, should I or should I not? And my parents weren't comfortable with it. And deep down, I really wasn't comfortable with it either. But just that sales pitch was what caught me. So that was what interested me the most about them. And then, of course, my friend going there and he was committed there and I wanted to play with him because we had been such a dynamic receiver duo in high school. We wanted to keep that going. But the thing that kept me solid with Oregon State was I'm a man of my word. I've always prided myself on being that, and I made a commitment here and I wanted to see that through. But, you know, just on the football side of things, I felt like if I went to Washington State, they have I don't want to call it a bad knack or anything, but receivers there always get tagged as system receivers. They run an air raid system, so it's kind of expected that you get, you know, you catch a lot of balls, you have a lot of yards, you score a lot of touchdowns. Oregon State is a school that's known for running the ball. We're known for being a pro-style offense, and I felt like if I wanted to have the best shot at playing at the next level, it would have to be in an offense where I was forced to block. I was forced to block on the perimeter, and, you know, I wasn't running routes every play, and I would have to run real routes. You know, I was going to have to be detailed. I was going to, again, have to block. I was going to have to show courage and play in a different style of offense to where they couldn't tag me as, oh, well, he was only successful as a 5-5 receiver because he played in a system where he's running a bunch of underneath routes and informal routes. I wanted it to be a situation to where if I'm successful, it's because I did what I was supposed to do, and you can't take that away from me.
You obviously thought it through. I mean, the way you articulated, Champ, you clearly processed all of these things and stayed true to that original commitment. The way you articulated tells me that it was a decision not easily reached, but thoughtfully, prayerfully reached.
Right. Of course, there was a lot of prayer that went into making that decision. I had to really pray about it and really, you know, talk to God about it. And God made me, you know, it made it comfortable. I was comfortable with sticking with my decision. And on the football side of things, the goal has always been to make it to the highest level. And be successful there. And I felt like this was the place that was going to give me the best opportunity to come in, play special teams, return kicks, play receiver, have to block and do the play receiver, and not only just play receiver and catch a lot of balls, but do the things that are going to be expected of you on the next levels. Things like blocking, things like running formal routes and knowing a pro style offense and being able to, you know, play in an offense where you're not just running routes every play. You're not running informal routes. You're not running underneathers and crossers and those type of things. So that was really important to me.
I'm going to turn it over to John for the last part of this podcast with Champ Plemmings. John has been engaged in some other work here behind the scenes as we wear a lot of hats. But, Johnny, we've talked a lot. We talked about the two touchdown plays, about growing up. Washington State came in with a pitch from Mike Leach himself, said, hey, we're going to, you know, you love having the ball in your hands, and essentially was saying, we'll get it in your hands a lot. He stayed true to his commitment here. So, Kofensa, we haven't talked about, Isaiah, Trevon, Tyjon, some of the other receivers. So, whatever you want to do, you guys can kind of wrap it up, but I'd love to learn a little bit more too, just about the fact that he gets to go back to UCLA and play. He grew up in the shadow of the Rose Bowl, and he'll be there in a couple of weeks.
Well, thanks, Mike. Again, the Beaver Sports Podcast is brought to you by Hum Kombucha, handcrafted with love and Ben for Beaver Nation. Fizzy delicious, made with antioxidants, probiotics, and all organic ingredients. Hum Kombucha. And by Lacrosse Boots, done right since 1897. Champ, thanks for taking some time with us. What was that like growing up outside of the shadow of UCLA? And did they give you any sniff at all?
No, UCLA was actually one of the schools who came and they saw me out there at practice at my high school, and they were like, nah, we don't even want to like bother with showing him any attention. So they showed me no attention. So
just because of your stature?
Yeah, there was a lot of schools who did that, and I don't want to, you know, get into naming any schools, but UCLA was one of the schools who earlier in my high school career, I think I might have been a sophomore or a junior, they were like, nah, we don't want any receivers who are that small. It's just not going to work. So, but growing up, you know, at the Rose Bowl, I spent a lot of time in the Rose Bowl. My dad was a coach at Pasadena High School for 17 years, so that, you know, the annual turkey tussle was always played in the Rose Bowl, so I would spend a lot of time in the Rose Bowl, and you know, it means a lot to me to be able to go back home and play there in a couple weeks, so that's going to be big.
What was it like then having your dad be a part of the game of football to the point of coaching? Was he always talking to you about your game, or did he leave you alone and wait for you to come to him?
He always just told me that, you know, he was always here to help, and that he would only help me if I wanted it for myself. It wasn't something that he was going to force on me. He always told me that he can't want something for myself more than I do. So once he saw that, you know, I started football at 5 years old, I was kind of reluctant to do it. And once I turned 7, that's when I was like, okay, I can really do this and, you know, I can be successful at this. And he started to see that I was taking it serious. And from that point forward, you know, I told him I don't want to play base. I was a two-sport athlete. Mm-hmm. I played baseball. I was really good at baseball. And I just told him, like, I don't want to play baseball anymore. I want to play football. This is what I want to do. I love it, and I want to be the best that I can be at it. So he was always there. He would work out with me. He was a high school coach, and I would, from the age of 7 on all the way through high school, I worked out every day. I would leave school. He would pick me up. I would go straight to practice with him, and I was in the weight room with the varsity football team doing every rep that they had to do. If they got in trouble, I got in trouble. If they were running, I had to run. If they were practicing, I had to practice. So that built a lot of confidence and skill in me, and it built a lot of heart in me and made me tough. So that was, you know, he was always there. Yeah.
What about taking hits at the Power 5 level? It's a different thing, and I know that it is a different thing for everybody, much less, you know, someone with your stature. And by the way, I'm considered small as well, so we can talk. There's no insulting here in asking these questions about stature. But what about, you're small in frame too, which is great. You talked about UCLA saying, no, we don't want someone that small. We're not looking at you. But did they not know of a couple of guys named James and Jaquiz Rogers? Now, they're probably a little thicker than you, but same stature. One's a receiver, one's a running back. I mean, did you see and know about those guys when you were growing up?
I did. You know, of course, being a guy my size, I've always paid close attention to guys who are smaller in stature. Mm-hmm. So guys like James and Jaquiz, guys like Brandon Cooks, Tavon Austin, DeAnthony Thomas, guys who aren't the biggest receivers, those are guys that I paid a lot of attention to, you know, coming up, and I would study their game and study their film and watch how they were able to make their size be successful for them. And I took a lot of the stuff that they did and applied it to my game. And if you, you know, if you watch my game closely, you'll be able to see a lot of those things that those guys do, a lot of their moves and a lot of their techniques. I've applied it to my game, and I'm just trying to make the most of it. You know, take the stuff that they've done and take the stuff that they've put on film and apply it to myself.
Champ Fleming's joining us here on this week's edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast. Excited to play Washington State this year?
Absolutely. I've always, even last year when I played against them, I had a huge game against them last year, special teams-wise. So, you know, whenever I get to play teams that I have, you know, friends that play for or coaches who recruited me, I always try to, you know, make the most of it. And I play football, not to sound like cocky or anything, but I play football, obviously, to embarrass and dismantle the other side.
Yeah,
so
right.
Whenever I get to do it to somebody that I'm kind of close to, it makes it even more fun.
Tell me about your receiver mates and even your receivers coach in Kafensi. How tight are you guys as a group?
We're a very tight group. You know, everybody in the room has love for each other, and we always talk about, you know, protecting each other and helping each other out, and each one teach one. And Coach Kafensi is really adamant about, you know, not making the group about individuals, that everybody in the room has to eat, you know, whether that's playing receiver, playing special teams. You know, if you notice on our kickoff return team, we have a lot of receivers. Of course, I'm the returner, but we have a lot of receivers who are out there on the front line of kickoff return making those tough blocks. And Coach Fentz always talks about, you know, if one of our guys are on the field, we're going to care about them, we're going to protect them, we're going to help each other out, we're going to support each other and embracing our roles. And Coach Kafensi is really good with, you know, with making us a tight group and keeping us together.
Do you feel like if it's your job to do some downfield blocking or even blocking over the middle, any kind of blocking that a receiver needs to do, that you can, no problem?
Absolutely, and that's one of the things that my teammates had a lot of respect for me for from last year. I put a lot of tape on film last year where I wasn't getting a lot of touches, but when I would be on the field, I can remember Jamar's breakaway run against Southern Utah. I was the one who was sprinting downfield, blocking for him, lead blocking for him. His one of his bigger runs against Arizona State last year, I ran all the way from across the field to go and try to spring him and, you know, get him into the end zone. So blocking is something that I take a lot of pride in, and of course, being a smaller guy, that's something that a lot of people don't expect for you to do. They don't really look at you and say, okay, he's going to be a good blocker. He's going to go out there and put his body on the line for the success of his teammates, and that's something that I've always taken a lot of pride in. You know, if one of our guys has the ball, if whether it be Jamar, AP, Isaiah, any one of our receivers, any one of the backs, I want to do my part to get him into the end zone, because that means just as much or even more to me, you know, as me getting in the end zone.
What do you think about Isaiah's game? I mean, he's big, he's got the long arms and pretty quick for a guy that size.
Isaiah is a great receiver. I've never had the opportunity to play with a guy like him. I've always played with guys who are more like me, who are smaller and quicker and faster. But Isaiah is a guy that he first of all, he works extremely hard. He's a hard worker, and he's one of the few guys that I've ever come across that have challenged me as far as work ethic goes. So we keep each other going in that way. But Isaiah, he's God-fearing. He works hard. He's a physical specimen. He's 6'4". He's big. He's strong. He's not slow. He has good feet, great feet work. He has huge hands, long arms, and he has a very high football IQ, and he studies the game and he cares about it. And, you know, he puts a lot of time and effort into his game, and I've seen him grow from the time that we've got here to now, and he's a great receiver. He's going to be something special.
Champ Fleming's our guest for just a few more questions. Who'd you emulate? Did you have a favorite receiver when you were growing up?
I wouldn't say that I had, like, one favorite receiver, but like I said earlier, well, Tavon Austin was always my favorite, like, player, just because he was so dynamic with the ball in his hands. I've never seen anything like it. But, again, you know, just I would pay attention to all the guys who were smaller in stature. So Brandon Cooks, James and Jaquiz, Tavon Austin, DeAnthony Thomas, Jakeem Grant, Tariq Hill, you know, Andrew Hawkins, all those smaller receivers, I would watch them and I would figure out, you know, well, what are they doing on the field that's making it, you know, making them successful. And even guys from locally, you know, I have a cousin who is literally my height, and he played receiver and he was a returner, and I got to grow up and watch him. His name is Michael Harrison. I got to grow up and watch him, and, you know, just watching guys who were similar to me and figuring out how they were successful and applying their game to mine.
All right, let's wrap it up with some fun stuff. What do you like to do if you're not playing football?
I'd like to, if I'm not working out, I like to play video games. I'm big on, you know, I play NBA 2K a lot, so that's one of the things that I like to do.
What is the oldest, you mentioned you were named after a video game character from your dad. Now, I imagine your dad's probably around my age, maybe even a little younger. Yeah. What is the oldest video game you've played?
I had a Nintendo 64, yeah. And we used to play James Bond 007 on there. And, you know, we were big on playing, like, Sonic the Hedgehog on the GameCube and all that type of stuff. So, yeah, I've been playing video games for a long time.
Do you get into fantasy games like shoot 'em up or just the sports games?
I play a lot of different games. I'll play, you know, Call of Duty, Red Dead Redemption, Grand Theft Auto. I'll play, you know, Madden. NCAA was my favorite game when they were still making that. But now it's more of the sports games.
Yeah.
But I'll still get into the other, you know, kind of the fantasy shoot 'em up games too.
Normally I would tell you as someone older just to say, get outside. Don't waste your time. But now people are making money playing video games.
Yeah, people are smart now. People are taking advantages of the opportunities that get put in front of them. So I don't blame the guys who, you know, if they play video games all the time, why not make some money off of it, you know, monetize themselves.
I guess so. What are you studying and what do you want to do outside of football? Because you got a good future in football.
Right now I'm a major in digital communication, so it's called new media communications, mm-hmm. but I'm in like the digital arts. So I've always really been interested in art. So I like to draw. I like to paint. I like to do all those type of artsy things, which is kind of weird.
Not at all. I know a young man who was exact same thing as you. Mm-hmm. My son's age, just a few years younger, went to New York. Now he's working for some NBA magazine, and his pictures, LeBron keeps favoriting them. Mm-hmm. And it's my friend's little buddy who grew up right here in Corvallis.
Yeah. So I'm really into that type of stuff, and you know, myself and my cousins have started a company, a lifestyle brand called 96 Reasons. So we've really, you know, been pouring a lot of attention into that. So that's something that I want to really focus on, just, you know, running our business, getting it going, and that's something that we've been focused on. So doing stuff like that, being an entrepreneur, just running businesses and doing my part.
Oh, I love to hear that. I love it when athletes have other interests, because a very small percentage move on, as you know, but that doesn't mean that you can't keep it up. It's really good to meet you and have a conversation with you.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys for having me on.
Absolutely. That's Champ Fleming joining us here for this week's edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast. I love these things. We get to learn so much about these, I call them kids, but they're young men. That'll do it for this edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast. We hope to get Dennis Erickson next week. That'll probably be the case, so tune in. We hope that you will. The Beaver Sports Podcast brought to you in part by Visit Corvallis. Experience Beaver Game Day fun live in Corvallis. Extend your stay and take in all the Willamette Valley has to offer. Visit Corvallis. Come for the game. Stay to play. Lacrosse Boots and by Hum Kombucha. Until next week, have a great week, everybody. I'm John Warren for Mike Parker. This is the Beaver Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College.
This has been the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by Hum Kombucha, handcrafted with love in Bend, Oregon for Beaver Nation. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Beaver Sports Network.